Nau mai, haere mai, tēnā koutou katoa. Ngā mihi nui, kia koutou. It's the big greeting. I've always said good morning, but my name is Rod. Good morning again. Hey, I just thought we'd just make sure we've... this is a song you may have learnt some years ago, and Emily wasn't sure whether you still knew it, so I thought we'd have a go at it, just so we're going to end the service. Sometimes we end the service, you know, a song of jubilation and celebration and praise, and there are other times where, and today, I just want to just dial it down a bit and we'll see how things go, but this is the song... And it's a sort of modern version of the 23rd Psalm. And we talked about that last week, and I objected to the apostrophe S. But anyway, you can't really sing this line, "The Lord is my shepherd," otherwise it doesn't really fit. Have a go, Knuckle, for some sound there.
I still don't get the eat, Rod.
The melody of the verse is the same as the melody in the chorus. So you only have to learn one and you know the other. The Lord's my shepherd, I'll not want. He makes me lie in pastures green. Leads me by the still, still waters. His goodness restores my soul. Should we sing that again? Lord. The Lord's my shepherd, I'm not want. He makes me lie in pastures green. He leads me by the still, still waters. His goodness restores my soul.
This is the chorus, and I will trust.
And I will trust. Trust in you alone, for your endless mercy follows me, your goodness will lead me home.
Hands up if you know that. Oh, well, you're singing very well. I'm not surprised. So just hang on to that and we'll use that at the end. Okay, I'm going to swap mics and Nicole's going to swap PowerPoints. And maybe could someone swing the monitor around there? And guys, we can sit down and take a bit of a break. Turn my guitar down.
All right. Hey, great to be with you again this morning. This is the second in a series of four services that I'm sharing at. I was here last week, and we're going to take a break next week. I think you've got a missionary coming next week, and then I'll be back for two more weeks after that. Is Gareth here? Gareth Weir? I was going to compete with him. He usually wears quite bright shirts, and I thought, I'd give him a run for his money. Anyway, sorry if it's a bit bright in the front rows here. I have been thinking recently about the lessons that we have learnt or are learning during lockdown. It might be a little bit early to be, you know, fully reviewing what's happened and how things have changed or not changed, but there have been some articles appearing in the media, and certainly after lockdown, comparing a lifestyle change or a difference in the way in which we lived our lives when we couldn't do as much compared to what now is regarded as quite a hectic lifestyle, a hectic Kiwi lifestyle. And maybe this was brought into focus because the lockdown had people, you know, doing more gardening and playing board games, spending time with their children more, and just a generally slower pace of life. And so one commentator reported back on a survey they did of New Zealand parents, and this was part of the findings. Modern parenting is a whirlwind laid bare by the COVID era. Over and over again, parents reported falling into bed at night exhausted after fitting work presentations and deadlines around ferrying kids between different schools and extracurricular activities and worrying about their developmental needs in a technologically driven age. We found, this is the report, we found households around New Zealand are being held together by spreadsheets, Google calendars, chore rosters, grandparents, coffee, after-school care, and waking up in the wee hours to finish projects. I ran that past a couple of parents and they thought it was pretty accurate. But even those who have passed the parenting stage, there are plenty of other signs that of being hurried. For example, have you ever found yourself trying to fit too much into a day, agreeing to more than you should, driving a little faster perhaps because you're running late, constantly multitasking, having areas of clutter in your house, or becoming irritated by having to wait in line or queue in traffic? And perhaps like me, you've used some of these phrases. I quite enjoyed thinking about all the ways I've described being a bit under the pump. Well, there's another one, under the pump. Not enough hours in the day. I say that a lot. It will have to wait until tomorrow. More haste, less speed. I'm rushed off my feet, up to my ears, busy as a bee, burning the candle at both ends, burning the midnight oil, snowed under, juggling a lot of balls, many balls in the air, too much on my plate, tied up, spread thin, stretched, buried, swamped, overloaded. We've got a lot of ways of saying we're too busy, haven't we? So are these just byproducts of a modern age and maybe a greed for wanting more? Or is it a gradual but sustained attack on our ability to prioritise time alone with God, squeezed to become the meagre leftovers of a never-ending overloaded Google calendar? According to pastor and author John Ortberg, these are all classic symptoms of leading a hurried life that can impact on our spiritual life. I don't know if this is an actual word. I think it's a modern word, hurriedness. But it's a word that is used in connection with the sort of, not so much being busy. You know, Jesus was busy, but it's really when the busyness becomes overwhelming. We become too busy, if you like. And if we think about why we rush, it's not hard to see how modern life makes it easy to overcommit. There's more on offer, lots of choices, and an appetite for everything. If you think about the tools that we have available to us, even the to-do list pads you can buy, you know, it's got little tick boxes and but of course, there's also Panadol for, you know, getting through, extending your day longer than what your body really is designed to do. And you can put energy drinks in that same category. Electronic devices, phones, credit cards, childcare, and 24/7 online shopping. These are all tools, if you like, to let us do more or accomplish more in our day. And yet, you know, we read in Psalm 127, verse 2, it sort of gets to the heart of the matter. It says it's useless to rise early and go to bed late and work your worried fingers to the bone. Don't you know God enjoys giving rest to those he loves? That's from the Message. So I said last week I like to define things. I don't like to talk about things and not be on the same page as everybody else. Admittedly, these are my definitions. But at least you know when I say hurriedness, this is what I mean. It's a feeling of being rushed to a point where I'm unaware of God's presence. We talked about that last week. Of being rushed to a point where I'm unaware of God's presence, unable to pay attention to things that matter, and unknowingly removing the margins that enable this to happen. That's what I think hurriedness is for me. There's an interesting word, that word margins. It is used in sort of a modern sense of giving yourself space, I suppose, between what is known as perhaps your load, what you're carrying, and the limit to which you can cope with that load. If you think about a margin down the side of an exercise book, you know, teacher would write sort of comments or put a star or just allow a little bit of room so that the whole page is not crammed with writing. It gives the writing maybe some form and just some spaciousness, I suppose. So margins. So I guess if you're thinking about your own life and if you haven't built in margins, then things are sort of butted up against each other. Your commitments are, there's no room for being late or getting it wrong. There's no correction space, if you like. So that's the idea of margins. So what happens when we slow down? What happens when we slow down? Perhaps this is how God wants to give you the peace that you've been praying for. Or maybe slowing you in order to experience recovery, calm, contentment, rest, time to notice and encounter God, time to develop and maintain quality relationships, room to listen and room to respond. And of course, Scripture tells us a lot about the opposite of hurriedness. If we put this on a continuum and we put hurriedness at one end, I think down the other end, as Christians, we'd say it's God's peace. Hurriedness and God's peace seem to be opposites in my view. And Scripture tells us a lot about God's peace. And, you know, this verse is very well read. With the electronic Bibles now, they can track what parts of the Bible are being read and how popular they are, I suppose. Particularly during the pandemic, don't worry about anything. Instead, love that word there, instead. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all He's done. Very well known. Perhaps not quite so well known, it follows. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. So there we get some ideas about what peace is. It will guard our hearts and minds. And how are we going there? There's another one. Oh, there we go. Is beyond our understanding, will guard our hearts and minds, is perfect. And used to understand who Jesus Christ is as the Prince of Peace, is a gift. It's a gift that the world cannot give. And it's in the character of God. It's not a God of disorder, but a God of peace. So here's my message in a sentence. Admittedly, sometimes I make these sentences quite long. But this, if you don't follow anything else I'm going to say today, here's the nub of what I'm saying. In order to grow a stronger and deeper faith as a follower of Jesus, there are times when we need to slow down, find space, and live simpler. Then we will know God's peace. So last week we talked about God's presence. This week we're talking about God's peace. You know, my grandmother was a great cook and she used to abide by a simple rule most of the time, was long and slow cooking. Long and slow. Her mince on toast was a work of art, and her rice pudding, I can still sort of taste it. It was so creamy, and you know, she'd put it in the oven at the beginning of the day on really, really low heat and leave it there for hours. And I think she'd be really surprised. She never owned a microwave, but I think she'd be really surprised and somewhat disappointed to think that in our modern world and under our kind of way in which we have improved our lifestyles, that we work longer hours than she ever did and her husband. That we sleep for shorter hours. we sleep 2 hours shorter than our grandparents did. And we work longer days. And surveys on happiness or well-being seem to suggest that we're actually no happier, despite all the advances in our modern world. Our population is no happier. And so this whole business of being hurried and God's peace is very relevant and important to us in our Christian walk. And the Bible not only tells us about God's peace, but it also helps us to know how to experience God's peace. This is another well-known passage from Matthew 11. And you might have read this version from the Message, which has got this lovely phrase, learn the unforced rhythms of grace. And Jesus says, I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. And then, of course, we get the description of Mary and Martha and what we can learn from Mary there, not fussing around doing the unimportant things, although I suppose Martha thought they were important, but certainly Mary at the feet of Jesus and the Lord saying to her, my dear Martha, you are worried and upset about the details. There is only one thing worth being concerned about. If we skip on to Jeremiah, we're told here to slow down, take a deep breath. What's the hurry? Why wear yourself out? Just what are you after anyway? Great questions. Slow down, take a deep breath. And of course, it's more than slow down in Psalm 46. It's be still and know that I am God. I developed Parkinson's disease 10 years ago, and some days being still is a little bit challenging for me. However, it still does happen from time to time, so I'm grateful for that. I think it's easy to do. Well, if you haven't got Parkinson's, it's easy to do to be still, but it's hard to remember to do to be still. To stop throughout your day and be aware that God is right there with you and to take that knowledge back into your day. This is a great little verse from Proverbs 19, the second part of it. In the NIV it says, how much more will hasty feet miss the way? How much more will hasty feet miss the way? And the Message simplifies it by just saying, haste makes waste. That's kind of the result, isn't it? And you know, it's not only Scripture that tells us about God's peace. In 1885, written for his mother, Joseph Scriven wrote these words. I've left a few out. I thought I'd test some of the younger ones if they knew what these missing words were. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear, all because, that is such a great word, because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. That's right. And so, as I thought about when do we forfeit? Now, forfeit is to give away or to lose. When do we forfeit God's peace? I guess by not praying for God's peace. There are certainly times that could go much better for us if we knew God's peace. And I think tiredness, weariness, and exhaustion are all slightly different, aren't they? You know, tiredness is after a late night, or maybe you're up in the night. I think weariness is something that's more sort of long term. And people have talked about the weariness of our nation in dealing with the pandemic. People are weary of it, a long-term tiredness, I suppose. But then there's also exhaustion. I think when praying for these areas, a couple of interesting things. One is that sometimes you can pray for God's peace and not have a particular request other than that. If you're uncertain about direction in life or not knowing precisely what to pray for, sometimes without that agenda or specific detail, praying in for God's peace is something that's rather non-threatening. And I like a Christian communicator called Sheridan Voysey in the UK. And he does a lot of ministry with people who have had sort of trauma and tragedy in their lives. And he certainly never professes to have any answers or give life advice, but he often prays for peace. Yeah. I think the other thing is that sometimes this is about peace, God's peace, within the storm. It's not asking necessarily or expecting the storm to stop or to go away. It's acknowledging and receiving and knowing God's peace within the storm. Yeah, eyes on Jesus, not on the storm. I know with kids at school, when they were worried and anxious, one of our tactics, if it was to do with their behaviour, to sort of de-escalate or settle them down, was to refocus them, to distract them, I suppose, take them into a different thought pattern. And sometimes I think that, you know, that's another good thing to pray for, and to get on and do something else, to take your mind to be not continually thinking about what worries you or makes you anxious, to reframe, if you like, the situation, and once again take your eyes off the storm. And for a lot of people, praying for God's peace in illness is something that's really important. And over the years, Lynn and I have prayed for people who have had illness, and it seems that physically they've got real issues and in need of God's healing. However, we have also and often prayed more for God's peace to surround them at this time than anything else. And I know in my own case, I experience God's peace, I think, every day, because in receiving God's peace, I know that I am loved and cared for, that today is okay and the sun is going to shine, probably, that I have many blessings. I receive God's peace when I know that He is in control. I have a friend that's closer than a brother, always watching over me, giving me security and confidence to face what is ahead. So Reece said to me last week, well, what does this feel like and what does it look like? So I had a thought about that, had a think about that. What does God's peace feel like? Yeah, that He's always there, that His presence is close. I just talked about that. Place of trust and security. Feel calm and settled. Often an answered prayer. You know, I think that often in my own life, the reason I do not experience God's peace is because I don't ask for it. And often present in the midst of chaos. So that's what it feels like to me. What does it look like? Well, it allows me to get on with other things, I think. I'm not so gripped by worry or anxiousness that God's peace with me gives me a kind of a confidence. Yeah, I've got that later on, but to get on with other things. I think also meditating on His Word. I think in Psalms it says, you know, those who meditate on the Word or the law will receive God's peace. So that's what it would look like. Living with less clutter. And sometimes it's clutter in my head. Sometimes it's clutter in my office. Sometimes it's clutter in the house. My wife Lynn is the queen of decluttering. And I'm a slow learner, but she's very patient. and sort of living with a measure of confidence. Living with a measure of confidence. Not confidence that in my own abilities, but my confidence that God is with me and that I can do all things in Christ through me. Yeah. So, experiencing God's peace. Five learnings. I said last week I don't like the word learnings, but anyway, the All Blacks use it, so I'll use it. Five learnings. And so as I thought about what could we do to sort of help us think about this thing of God's peace, and are we seeking God's peace, are we finding God's peace, are we experiencing God's peace, there's five ideas that I feel that God was telling me to share with you this morning, and the scriptures that back those up. So I've got your homework sheets. I know I haven't marked last week's homework, but no, I won't be marking it. But Dave, do you want to be the class monitor? Yeah, you don't have to do this, but you might want to tuck it in your Bible and do it in a week or a month's time if you're suffering from hurriedness and have no time. Or you might do it in your house groups, do it individually. Or you might like to come along for a cup of tea and a muffin. Tomorrow morning, Lynn and I will be here in the church. And if you'd like to know more about God's peace, if you'd like us to pray for you, if you'd like to have a chat about some of these ideas I'm going to share right now, you're most welcome. You can come for 5 or 10 minutes if you're working and you've only got a short smoko break. Just pop down and have a chat with us for a few minutes. 10:30 to 11:30. Everybody's welcome. It's friendly. You'll get a cup of tea or coffee and a muffin, and we'll have a chat. But the first idea about experiencing God's peace is really to practice some solitude. And as I said before, being still is easy, but it's hard to do, or hard to remember to do. And you know, our Lord gives us plenty of examples where he often withdrew from the busy world of that he was in. He withdrew to lonely places and prayed. And so some people say, well, I'm on my own all the time. But I think this is different. This is planned. It's probably no technology. So turn any technology off and see it as a positive time of, has positive connotations. And I'm suggesting this as in a different way to perhaps what loneliness is, you know, being by yourself. You might say, well, I'm always alone with God. But I think if this is a time that you plan, then I think that's a good thing to do. Martin, back at East Tyree Church, suggests that sometimes when you're seeking a time of solitude, to be outside and without thinking or praying too much, just observe, just have a think about what's in your environment and have a look at God's creation, smell, see, hear, and just reconnect with your senses and the way in which God's creation is out there. Practice solitude. The second idea is to learn to be content. I guess it's really about saying no. And not ignoring how God has wired you. Listening to your body and not taking on too much. Learn to be content. Thirdly, to be intentional about being less busy. Proverbs 21:5, careful planning puts you ahead in the long run. Hurry and scurry puts you further behind. For me, a lot of my planning really rests on routine. As I've gotten older, I find that my days go a lot better if I have a very similar routine. Get up at the same time every day, regardless of whether it's a weekend or not. and have a few things that I want to achieve every morning and every afternoon. And I find that my day is easier to plan if I stick to routine. And, you know, remembering from Mary and Martha, what's important to focus on. And for me, and I don't know whether this is a guy thing, but I'm not very good at finishing things. One of Lynn's favourite sayings is, you stand up and you walk away. It's a bit like that ad on the TV, walk away. I sort of get distracted. I move on to things too quickly, I suppose. Don't finish things. And I do that with small things. I do that with big things as well. And good to be intentional, plan my routine will help me to finish things before I start the next thing. And I suppose it's a wee bit like the fourth idea, which is living more simply. We'll all know the verse, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all things will be given to you. So, you know, eating simpler, just thinking of ways in which we can simplify our lives. And the last idea, and which I think is maybe the most important lesson we can learn, is to trust. Trust in God's timing. Trust that God will answer our prayers for his peace. I wonder what situation or person or circumstances are on your heart or mind today. What prayer for God's peace would you pray this morning? Do you need to trust more in God's timing? What troubles you to the point where you are forfeiting God's peace? Don't be in such a hurry that you sacrifice a right relationship with God, where there is no space to grow your faith. Perhaps God is saying to you this morning, slow down, calm down, and maybe even tools down. Slow down, calm down, tools down. Take a deep breath and trust in me. Just have a quiet time if we think about the people, the situations, the circumstances that you would pray for right now, for God's peace to be a blessing on whatever you pray for. So this lovely psalm has had a new chorus added to it. And as you'll know, the 23rd psalm, we are encouraged to lie in pastures green. He leads me by the still, still waters, and I will trust in you alone, for your endless mercy follows me. Your goodness will lead me home. Let's stand and sing. The Lord's my shepherd.
shepherd I'll not want. He makes me lie in pastures green. He leads me by the still, still waters. His goodness restores my soul.
And sing, I will trust.
And I will trust.
Let's pray together. And perhaps I leave it just a wee space after each line. You might want to repeat my prayer, repeat my lines. So, loving God, I acknowledge my need to slow down. We say it together. I acknowledge my need to slow down. In the midst of all my activity, help me to live a less hectic life. So that I may know more of you.
So that I may know more of you.
And more of your unrushed ways of guidance. This morning I ask. That you become my pace setter. Help me to stop.
Help me to rest.
Help me to walk more closely with you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
And I will trust in you alone. For your endless mercy follows.
Please have a seat, everybody. And once again, if you want to join Lynn and I tomorrow morning for a cuppa, 10:30 in the church here, most welcome.
Thanks, Dave. Thank you, Rod. And if you want to join us next door for a cuppa right now, let's do it.